Let me ask you, does this sound familiar?
You can go right down the line here, can't you? You can go right down the line with a whole series of things where you would say this feels like absolutely mission impossible. And the more battle wounds, the more scars that you have, the more the weariness envelops you, the more you are scared, the more you want to give up.
Boy, we've all been there a time or two, haven't we? And many of us are probably right there in the thick of it as we speak. Well, today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon will take us back to our series in Acts, chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, with a very encouraging message simply called, When It's Too Much to Bear. And again, especially in this current day and age, I think it hits close to home for most of us. Oh, we have some encouraging looks at despair and how we overcome it here in chapter 18 of Acts. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Let's give our attention this morning to the word of the Lord. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many people, many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. And there ends this morning the reading of God's word. Well, it seems often in life the most difficult thing about it is the feeling that we're moving nowhere and we're going nowhere. Every day it's that same thing, isn't it? It just seems like the same thing. We get up, we're going to go do the same thing over and over. And at times it feels immensely uninteresting, especially when there's nothing exciting about it. It gets tiresome. You become weary, all the more so when things are not going well. Life seems to go that way. We hit periods where nothing seems to be going well. And even if you're not feeling well, you can have a whole bunch of things that accumulate and make you feel like giving up. This is a common experience to life. This is a common experience to all of us under the sun, living in this life, going forward with our plans and nothing quite working out the way that we planned. You know that ministry is just like that. There are times you feel that progress is minimal. There are times you feel like things are just not moving. There are times it seems that nothing really is happening. The labor doesn't seem to be doing much. It doesn't seem to be affecting much the way that you want it to. And then comes all the spiritual warfare at these moments. In the midst of all of this, it's incredibly difficult. You become weary because you don't feel you're moving anywhere. I tell Darcy often, I feel like I'm on a treadmill at times, running as fast as I can, and I'm not moving. I'm just not going anywhere. That's a kind of common experience of life. All of it brings discouragement. Endurance is hard. Staying the course is difficult. We often want to become recluses and hide and not continue what we're doing. I want to encourage you today, because all of that is very natural to life under the sun because of sin and because of our struggles. And it is exactly what we have in front of us here in the ministry with the Apostle Paul. I believe we've come to a point in Acts where the Apostle Paul is weary and tired and discouraged and feeling like things are not progressing as he thought they would, and at some ways ready to give up. And I'm hopefully going to show that to you today, hopefully make that clear to you, to see how and why this particular passage is so important, because we come to one of the brightest moments in the book. I've never been for red letter editions of the Bible, but I like this one, because right in there is one big section of red letter. And when I first read it, I read right over it. I passed right over it. In this section that I thought, how in the world am I going to preach this? Comes one of the greatest encouragements in the entire book. This is what it's like studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God. When we come to things like this, it's so easy to read right over what was just said to you. And this is one of those moments. It's a beautiful moment in the book of Acts. And these words have the intention of encouraging us in the same, that not just for life in general, but in our callings as Christians, whatever that calling might be, as those who are witnesses of Christ, in that particular command to be a witness to what the Lord has done for you, don't give up. I never like pastors being coaches, but I feel like one right now. Don't give up. That's the heart of this. It's the Lord telling us, I've not given up. I'm committed to this project. I'm going to complete what I said I'm going to do. No matter how things seem, no matter when everything is slow, no matter when everything seems to be unraveling at the seams, this is when we stop and listen to what the Lord is saying to us right here. And that's why Acts 18, I hope, will have a special place when you come to these moments in life. As I look at this text this morning, I see the apostles' weariness. I see in response to that the Lord's encouragement. And then I see the Lord's working in his providence to prove that to the Apostle Paul. And this is so helpful for us this morning. Let's look at this. Last time, we spent time studying Paul in Athens. What a different place. What a unique place to go and to take the gospel. And I've tried to show you that everywhere Paul went, there was either revival or riots. The man thoroughly stirred up everything. Yeah, people came to faith, but the riots and the hardships were unbearable, it seemed, at times. More riots than revivals. You'll remember Thessalonica, Berea, Athens. He was provoked, particularly in Athens, by the idolatry, and he preached his heart out there. We looked at that message last time, and what did he face? Nothing that great. In other words, by the end of that whole discourse, we love the preaching of Paul on Mars Hill, but by the end of it, it seemed uneventful to some degree, didn't it? You had the majority of them, it seemed, who were laughing and mocking him. You had the next group of people who were sitting there and saying, oh, maybe we'll hear you again on this. That's unbelief. And then it says some, and only two names are given that believe. Some of them did believe. But if you're looking at it with human eyes and evaluating things from our ministry standards, it was really not a great successful place, event that took place in Athens in the preaching of the gospel. That's how we would see it. As I'm following Paul's missionary journeys here, as we're following them and tracing them, I'm starting to think to myself, I don't know how well I would hold up. I mean, seriously, there's limits to what we can bear. he's past them. I don't know anyone who could read these chapters and not see that. Let me just read this again so you know when he summarizes his struggles. 5 times from the Jews, I received 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers and danger from bandits and danger from my fellow Jews and danger from Gentiles and danger in the city and danger in the country and danger at sea and danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who's weak? But I don't feel weak. You want to talk about weakness? Who's led into sin? Do I not inwardly burn? I mean, this is. One of you said to me, going through Acts has been good because I feel like we're studying real people. We tend to put these people way up here. These are real people with real struggles in the crucible, in the grind, and it's hard. The question for me is, how is this man holding up? I'm sure if I went around right now, around the room, it'd be interesting to survey the room today, the church today, and to see who here is feeling weariness. Who through all of this, constantly bearing down on us in life and society, everything that we see, the hardships, the seemingly little success of everything we're doing. I want to make it worse for you for a minute. I'm good at that, okay? With all that in mind, it gets a lot worse for Paul. We read that he went to Corinth. Stop. We have the advantage of reading 1 Corinthians. I preached that book, one of my favorite books to preach for the church today. You remember how many problems were in that church? It was the most compromised church in the New Testament. You had a Greek city filled with Roman culture. Everything that embodied Rome was in Corinth. It was a melting pot of all peoples and cultures mixed into the Roman way. Rome dominated their laws, their religion. It was called the most dazzling of all the Greek cities. 750,000 people in its heyday were in Corinth. That is remarkable when you think about it for considering what's in Escondido. What, 150? All of this wealth. And here's what's so important to study. Everyone in Corinth was, of course, pursuing the Roman dream. The city was set up for anyone with social status and advancement. Everyone was pushing for wealth and honor. Everyone was pushing for position. You had the best entertainments of the day. You had all the allures of the day. Here's the point. There was one major wicked problem in Corinth that dominated the city. And you know what it was? Sexual immorality. You know what became a common idiom? You know, we say all the time today, well, people, when they fornicate, you have certain words for all of that. In Corinth, it was called Corinthianizing. There's nothing new under the sun. We have used it even for California to call it Californicate. All the cities knew about the girls in Corinth. In fact, when the guys came over to Corinth, if you had a Corinthian girl, that was a euphemism for saying she was a prostitute. This is Corinth. What a different city than Athens. A combination of what I've described. There's no way you could be a Christian in this and not be affected by it. That would be like assuming that no man here is totally unaffected by our culture's emphasis in this, men and women. Sure, we've got big problems with pornography. We've got big problems with all this stuff. You can't be unaffected by it. And Paul wasn't. He says that. You know what he said to the Corinthians when he wrote to them? I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Why? I came here and I had one big emotion. I had one big problem. I was overwhelmed with fear coming to this place. You think about it. He walked into Athens and he sees all the idolatry. And there, you know, there's the gods of wood and stone, right? He was provoked by the idolatry, so he preached Jesus. Now he walks into Corinth, and he sees an entirely different kind of thing. I'm thinking he looks around at what would be a lot like walking in for us, Vegas. Yeah, this is what my grandma was telling me the other day, that when Italians come to the U.S., they want to go check out Vegas, right? It's just mesmerizing. It is just, wow. Paul's looking around thinking, this is a seductive trap. How in the world am I going to minister in this and be effective at all? I know this is right because you just look and trace what the church in Corinth fell into, and you know this is a right assessment. Everything that was recorded of what happened in Corinth was this, in the extreme. One pastor said, at least in Athens, they were interested in debating ideas. And Paul could speak of Jesus and the resurrection and get a hearing. But not in Corinth. The youth in particular were interested in sex and sport more than that, than talking about religion. That sound familiar? I'm sure he felt, I don't even know how headway is possible. Maybe you have experienced this and felt this. If you had been stoned and beaten and imprisoned, as this man had been, in cities of lesser consequence, can you imagine stepping into that? Thinking to yourself, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I'm sure he thought, it's absolutely inevitable. This one scares me to the extreme. How could I say anything against any of this and not have them come down on me? All of a sudden, you start to realize, this is kind of our setting. This is kind of our work of ministry is sort of paralleled as we compare what happened in Corinth and what Paul had to face in Corinth. This is us. This is our day. These are the challenges. I mean, look at what you're trying to do. Raise children to love the Lord in this. Look at all the temptations. Look at all the sensuality. Look at all the lure of Babylon and all of its glory. You've got it here. And then try to say it's wrong in some kind of public forum. When it comes to this issue of sexual morality, you know what you're going to get. We're trying to do ministry in this. We're trying to minister the gospel of Jesus and offer him as an answer when this is what's being offered to them. Some of us are weary of giving in to this kind of stuff all the time. We're weary of the seeming little progress. We're weary of the way our children are responding. You can go right down the line here, can't you? You can go right down the line with a whole series of things where you would say, this feels like absolutely mission impossible. And the more battle wounds, the more scars that you have, the more the weariness envelops you, the more you are scared, the more you want to give up. Well, what happens from here? Let me make it a little worse first, and then it'll get better. In verse 4, we read that he did his typical thing of going first to the Jewish synagogue, and he was there trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. And verse 6 tells us that they opposed him and reviled him. They were calling him a blasphemer. This is an intense assault on him, reviling him, and it almost seems that Paul now breaks away from the whole thing. He has hit rock bottom when he blurts out and says, your blood be upon your own hand, head, I'm innocent, from now on I go to the Gentiles. Done. I'm done with you. I've been a watchman on the wall. I've been Ezekiel sounding the alarm. No one's listening. You did not hear, I'm washing my hands. Using the language of Ezekiel here. I am washing my hands. Your blood is on yourselves. I've been cleansed from this. Huge moment in ministry, actually. Here, shouldn't read over it too quickly. He finally broke from his way of doing things. And no longer went to his own family. Hear me. He no longer went to his own family. His countrymen. He was done. Now you need to know that when you read this, it comes across as sort of frustrated, angry, cold. But this is not what Paul said was going on internally in him. Paul said this in Romans 9, which he wrote from Corinth. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Why? For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. This is like watching your whole family depart from the faith and leave the church and reject it all. How do you think that make you feel? Many of you couldn't even handle that. Those of your blood, those of your children. He is totally ripped up inside. Some of you have had loved ones who've done this. Some of you actually have had children who've done this. You see why I'm saying you have one discouraged apostle? He hasn't even made it into the streets of Corinth. And out of the gates, they've all rejected it. How in the world are you going to make headway in this? Right? And I think he throws up his arms and he begins to say, is this working? Is it? I said to somebody the other day, look at the masses of people all around us. How many, Lord? How many are believing? How do you not look at this and think to yourself, this is a massive project failure? And our typical response is to say, I just want to tuck away from all of it. I want to be done with it. I want to become a recluse. The more I can just avoid thinking about things, the better it all will be. This is somewhat, some have said, what happened to A.W. Pink at the end of his life. It's a recluse. We fight it all the time. I fight it all the time. It'd just be so much easier to disengage. So much easier. Disengage from all of this. Let somebody else do it, right? Let somebody else. See, I'm not just describing what happens in Christian ministry to pastors. I'm describing what happens to you every day in daily life. The fruit is so little, the problems so many, and we're just often perplexed about it all. At the apex of this discouragement comes the red letters, if you will. I love this. This is where you read and you stop and you say, wow, what a moment in the book of Acts.
You'll talk about a cliffhanger moment, right? Man, time just gets away from us, and we will have to close out our program here. But rest assured, as you join us tomorrow, we'll take a look at that red letter moment in the Apostle Paul's life. Apply it to our own and find genuine encouragement and real comfort in those moments and in those times of life when it's just too much to bear. Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805. 8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.